Hey, everybody. Welcome to Cincinnati Real Producers Podcast, powered by Nextdoor Photos. I'm Patrick Braddock, owner and publisher of Cincinnati Real Producers.
And I'm Daniel Ziegler, owner of Nextdoor Photos. Every week, we're getting to know Cincinnati's top realtors.
Our goal is to elevate and inspire the real estate community throughout Greater Cincinnati.
Today we have Ginger Reddy and Taylor Dishman with Layered Home Group, brokered by eXp Realty. Ginger is in her eighth year selling real estate. When she started her career in 2017, she was also working in the tech industry, but still managed to achieve Rookie of the Year. Ginger is also a past president for Women's Council of Realtors and a current member of the board of directors for the Realtor Alliance of Greater Cincinnati. After moving back to Cincinnati from Austin, Texas in 2022, Taylor joined forces with her mom, Ginger, and in 2024, they launched Layered Home Group. Welcome to the show, Ginger and Taylor.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you for the invitation.
Thank you guys for joining us.
Absolutely. Glad to have you guys.
Absolutely.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, Ginger, you and I met, gosh, what year was that? I mean, it's been a few years ago now. Probably 2020.
I mean, when did you launch?
2021. Yeah, I launched in 2020. So
yeah, so I'd say 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah, it has. It's been fun.
Some good times.
Yeah.
And look at you now.
Look at you now.
I know.
No, it's exciting. I think one of the things that, you know, we kind of mentioned in your intro is just your involvement at the board and, you know, with Women's Council and everything. I think that's where I've seemed to have made a lot of my relationships has been, you know, through involvement there. And I obviously see how you find that very important as well.
Yes. I'm very fortunate because, you know, they have a, at least with Women's Council, they say you've been tapped on the shoulder. And I was fortunate early on, somebody recognized something in me and tapped me on the shoulder, almost forced me, would I say, to become part of Women's Council. And it really helped me understand the industry, and then being involved at the board prior to being on board of directors, being on committees, really understanding the intricate workings of the industry, I think definitely fast forwarded my career.
Hmm. That's awesome.
Well, I love how it's not like it's, you're not getting a hero's welcome all the time. You know, there's been a lot going on with the board over the last year. You know, you kind of stepped in as well in a time of transition, and you know, I think there's just a lot of appreciation for the people who do step up like that and do want to do well for their peers throughout the real estate community. So thank you for taking that leap and being one of those true professionals.
Somebody might say I'm crazy.
Not me.
But I'm excited.
We need more people like you.
Well, I've always loved a good challenge. If there's any, I get bored easy, so I love a good challenge.
It's awesome.
There's a lot going on. I've told somebody, they were like, do you regret that you ran for the board after the last year that we had? And I said, absolutely not, because what an exciting time to be behind the scenes and really see what's going on. So
yeah, absolutely.
I feel kind of lucky in a way.
Yeah.
And I, like I said, I love a good challenge.
Yeah. That's awesome. Speaking of challenges, you came from a totally different industry. I mean, there's some definitely crossover in terms of like the skills and things that you did in your past industry, your past life, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
And you and I have talked about that, but, you know, let's share a little bit about that for our listeners. Tell us about your tech industry sales experience.
Yeah. I mean, wow, where do I start? I've done a lot in my life, but let's end kind of with the tech piece of it. So I was fortunate enough to be recognized again by somebody who saw something in me and took a chance for me to join the tech industry. I am not college educated. I did not finish college. And typically in that field of sales, that is definitely a check mark, a requirement. And somebody took a chance on me and I absolutely loved it. So something about me is I'm kind of a geek at heart. I'm a techie geek at heart. I love things like that. So when I could get into what I did was 3D printing. So when I got into 3D printing to see how things are made and how manufacturing technology works, I got behind the scenes at NASA, at all the big three automotive, all of these different things. There is a company called Shure that makes a lot of the microphones. Like, I know how these things are made. I geeked out on it. It by far was the coolest thing I've ever done in my life. By far. I would say real estate is the most heartwarming thing I've ever done. And the tech that I was in was the coolest. But I got tired of traveling. I'd get on a plane on a Sunday evening and I'd fly home on a Friday evening, 3 weeks a month. Wow. You know, Taylor was in just getting into college at that time. So it really wasn't that bad that, I mean, for my kids, cause I was a single mom. I grew up, I raised them barely being able to make ends meet. So then when I got the chance to get in the tech world and the first year doubled my income, third year tripled, and then I was making money. I call it pinch me money. Like, am I really making this money? I was able to pay off my house. I was able to do things in my life very quickly. And I thank God for those that took a chance on me. And then to get into real estate now and be faced with what I have, what we've got coming down the pipe, the changes that we've had in our industry, I really see that as I want to find people to take a chance on, to let them have that same kind of wealth opportunity, if you will.
Absolutely.
That's awesome.
Yeah. So going back to that, was, I don't know, was a man or woman that took a chance on you in that role. What do you think it was that they saw in you that made them want to take a chance on you?
You know, I can't really say it was a man. I can't really say what he saw in me. But I know when I'm asked questions, I'm a pretty honest person. If you don't want to know my opinion, you probably don't want to ask me. Not that I'm like mean about it, but I will give you my opinion. And one of the questions that he asked me was, what will make you successful? And I said, don't micromanage me. If you want to know when I've made a phone call or I've gone to the bathroom or whatever it is, I fail in that. I said, if you let me go out and fall on my face, I learn from falling on my face. But I do know that his parents were immigrants and people took chances on him. So maybe that's why he decided to take a chance on me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's awesome.
Man, that's cool. People giving opportunities, then, you know, they... that person then, like you're saying, you want to give other people opportunities too. Taylor, what was it like for you? You know, you were in the college years, I guess, when all of this was kind of happening. That was probably exciting for you to see your mom stepping into this new role and flourishing in it.
Oh my gosh, it was. I get like emotional when I talk about it and think about it because I've seen my mom go through like the hardest struggle of like trying to raise two kids with like barely anything and then working her, am I allowed to cuss? Working her butt off to be where she is now. And she's really faced a lot of adversity and to be here. And then to be able to not only like be where she's at, but also welcome me and take a chance on me and let me do this is so important. When I was in Austin, I taught for 5 years. And when we knew we wanted to move home because we wanted to start a family. And I wanted to be a stay-at-home mom, or I wanted to be spend as much time as I could with our future kids now, Palmer, at home. And I knew that I couldn't do that with teaching. I knew that was not going to be an option. I mean, you guys have three kids. Can you imagine spending 8 hours with 25 kids and then going home to your own, right?
So, nope.
Yeah. She was like, you should really think about this, and brought me on board. And now I'm able to do what I do and take care of Palmer. And that's because mom, from when I was little, worked hard to be able to let me do this. So one thing we drive home with Layered Home is we're layered in generations. And it's true. And I think that's why we also like to give other people chances or take chances on other people so they can build generational wealth or a generational whatever they want businesses. So, yeah.
That's really cool.
So you went to college for teaching.
Actually, this is like a whole long story, but I'll try to keep it short. My first year I was early childhood education and I was working in the Cincinnati Public Schools. And what I saw was a lot of lack of resources for children who really needed more. And so I decided I wanted to lobby for education. So then my second through 4.5 years, I switched to political science and philosophy on the pre-law track. I was set to go to law school. I had taken the LSAT, everything. And then I came across a program called Teach for America. And I called mom and I was like, am I crazy? Like, I'm going to go to law school. I could be a lawyer. Like, what do you think about maybe me doing teaching again? And she was like, do it, go, like, go try it. And so I did. And it was one of the best journeys I've been on. It was very fulfilling. And I still talk to some of my students now. So
that's awesome. That's really cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
I mean, who can't be proud of that?
No, seriously.
I am blessed to have two amazing kids. I'll tell you that.
It's awesome that you give them the freedom to, like you said, not be micromanaged, you know, make your own decision and, you know, kind of carve out your own path and where you want to go. And lucky for you, it seems like everything is working out well, that, you know, the path just kind of took a turn towards real estate.
Yeah.
And now the team is starting to find that rhythm and really, really get some traction. So do you guys want to dive into that a little bit and kind of go into, you know, going from, you know, you to us is not easy. So like, do you want to talk about that transition a little bit?
Absolutely. So, when she came on board as a realtor, she was kind of doing it on her own because I was at that time, you know, managing a branch for a local broker. And, having that salary is kind of something you don't want to let go of, but we were envisioning what this might look like moving forward. And some might say, unfortunately, but fortunately we were launched into that decision rather quickly, but we had also planned for what that might look like. So in January, we launched Laird Home Group. Then just a month ago, that brokerage sold. And we at that point in time decided to break off and go really launch. So within a month, launch Laird Home Group with being brokered by EXP. And in that time, we are on track to definitely surpass any sales we've done annually by July.
Wow. That's incredible.
And we're building quite a pipeline. And it's super exciting to take all of the experiences I've had in selling tech that she's had from a teaching standpoint. They complement each other pretty well. And then all of those ideas and business building blocks that I have trained agents on, for me to implement those and really see them, taking off. It's super exciting.
That's awesome.
It really is.
Well, I feel like teachers naturally have a really good transition into real estate because they're passionate. Like, this is for anybody. Obviously, no, you don't get into teaching for the money.
Right.
You get into it for the passion, right? Like, you get in for the dedication and helping others. And that's really such a transferable quality into real estate, you know? And and then the money comes with it, which is a win-win, you know, like you can take the qualities that you have in teaching and transition that to helping others find their biggest investment, which is really, really cool.
Yeah. So I mean, they're both
doing that.
They're both really like relationship based. It just kind of rolls over. And I was hesitant to leave teaching because I did love it so much. It was like my entire personality for 5 years. But I've found that in this space, I'm still teaching. I'm just teaching different content, right? So I'm teaching the process of buying or selling a home.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. Yeah. I never really thought about it.
Yeah.
I think educating is a big piece of being a real estate agent because so many people just don't know.
Yeah.
They don't know what they don't know.
It has to be now because people don't know about interest rates being at the 6s and 7s and, you know, they were fooled with 2s and 3s. It's like, all right, now we have to educate. You can't just go buy and sell.
Well, it's such a complex transaction. And now with all of the relocation happening, and even though relocation is not happening as much from a large corporation standpoint, it is happening. COVID changed that, but it's happening on a one by one. And you have to educate people on different markets as well and how things are, you know, how they buy and sell real estate in North Carolina is fundamentally different than Ohio. That's fundamentally different than Florida. That's fundamentally different than Texas. There's so many different rules and regulations around all of it. So if you're having somebody transfer in from another state, they're like, well, this is how we did it. So they think that's how we do it here. They think it's a universal thing and it's not. So education is a huge part of that.
That's great. Yeah. Plus just being a local expert, you know, in the market here too.
Which is fun, being both of us, born and raised Cincinnatians, East Siders, you know, to leave, we both left at some point and to come back is, it gives you that intel into all the history of Cincinnati.
Right.
Yeah. Actually, I think it makes you appreciate Cincinnati even a little more. I thought I was like, yes, I'm moving to Austin. This is going to be so fun. And then like 5 years later, I'm like, no, I'm ready to come home. And then being home is like, I see Cincinnati a little differently now, where it is like my home. That's awesome. And I'm like way more passionate about it since I left. So
yeah.
Great point.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Grass isn't always greener, right?
That's true.
I used to think Cincinnati was a terrible city, but I lived in Clifton and I was going to school. And then once I started exploring, I'm like, this is really a beautiful area. Like, I love Cincinnati. So not that Clifton's bad, but it was all I knew, you know?
Right.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What school did you go to, Taylor?
Lakota East and then University of Cincinnati.
We're doing the school question.
I know. I love it.
You have to.
It's
the high school towns, right? That transfers over to Northern Kentucky too, right?
It does. And then what college did you go to?
University of Cincinnati.
Nice, me too. Okay. What high school did you go to?
I started out at Anderson High School, grew up on the east side, and then we moved to Blue Ash and I graduated from Sycamore.
Nice.
Yeah. And then I was in nursing school and I didn't finish that because I had my oldest child.
It's exciting. All right. We did the school thing. Obligatory.
It has to.
It has to be.
It's got covered.
From Cincinnati, we're asking.
Right. Exactly.
I love it.
I'm not from Cincinnati, so I don't have to talk.
Where are you from?
Cleveland. Oh. My dad is a West Sider.
Browns fan?
I am.
So is my husband.
Yeah. My dad's a West Side Cincinnatian. He's an elder guy. So we always had ties down here and we're always Bearcat fans. So
yeah.
That's why I came down here for school, met my wife, and never left. So
see, we have that effect. We don't let you leave.
I know. And I love the city. Like, I love it. That's why I came down here not knowing anything but Clifton.
Yeah.
And at the time it was pretty dangerous when I went to school, but now they're really revitalizing that whole area. It's vibrant. It's beautiful. And then you check out some of these other neighborhoods and it's like, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, my man's a West Sider and I'm an East Sider.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we live neutral. We live in Lebanon. We're neutral now.
That's perfect.
Yeah, that's fair.
Just come over to Kentucky.
I know.
You guys are soaking everybody in.
I know. That's true. I do always joke though. We have friends on the West Side. We'll show houses on the West Side. I'm like, I have to get my passport out.
Yeah.
Across 71 and 75. Oh, no.
Yeah. Hilarious. Well, I want to know more about Layered Home Group because this is new since I really gotten to talk to you guys. I mean, I've seen you several times since you started, but we haven't really got to talk about it. So tell me about your idea behind your Layered Home Group and kind of where the name came from. I know you mentioned Layered in Generations, which I love, but let's just talk about that a little bit.
Sure. I think our tagline is layered in history, layered in generations, layered in design. And it really, the design piece fits in because so many of our clients ask us to come back and help them interior design their homes. Mm. And then home organize them, type A personality right there. Not nice. This one, that one. And so we were like, how can we feed that into it? So there is a bit of interior design and home organization built into Layered Home, but really it's a real estate forward focus. And as Taylor and I talked, I saw building a team, with the two of us to start out with. And now my vision, she's going to be shocked because she's hearing this for the first time, goes way beyond that because
you're like hearing it first, people.
That's right. Because I see it as a building block because I see her really taking off, giving her those trusting. And I know that there's holes that we can't be all places all once. And I don't want to be a type of team that it's Ginger and these are all of the agents. I want the agents to drive that. So I see it really as agent centric. And I know that's so overused. But truly, I mean that by it's their business. I would never want to overshroud their successes and their abilities, but there's more people we can touch and help if we grow that. So I think using our basis of the morals that I was raised and grown on, hopefully the ones that she was raised and grown on to make us better. But I mean, what do you think, Tay?
You have to give me a second on this.
That's fine.
Okay.
You might need to cut. Well, I find it interesting because the growth is natural when you decide to grow a team. When you start a team, you start to see the volume increase. And then eventually, I mean, you were in leadership, you know this. You see that volume increase to a point where you can't handle it. So you either cap yourself
right,
or you grow, right? And it's like the thought behind it is, how do you want to grow? And I think that's really, really noble of you, not wanting to be the centerpiece, but wanting to be, you know, a nurturer of growth for everybody involved. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Everybody has what's important to them.
Yeah.
And it's important to me in a way to leave a legacy. And that legacy to me is that I helped change somebody's life because people took chances on me that allowed me to change my life and the trajectory, not only of my life, but my children and my grandchildren.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we've even talked about this too. And I think, prior to recording, we talked a little bit about like why.
Yeah.
And I mean, I think a lot of people's why is their children, right? So that's kind of that legacy building piece and what's really important.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's nice that you don't lose sight of that either, because it's, you know, you get into real estate, so you have the flexibility to be with your children.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly your point. You know, like this still gives you that flexibility, which is really, really cool.
Yeah. And there's power in numbers, right? If there's a bunch of us trying to row the boat in the same direction, we're definitely going to get there quicker, and all the people on board are going to profit from it.
Yeah. Well, just think about family vacations. Who's answering the phone when you're both are on the beach? You know, like
that's true.
So if you grow a little bit, then you can, you guys can delegate a little bit more, and then they can go on vacation. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Who knows?
Yeah.
But if you ever thought, if you ever asked me if I'd be in business with either of my children, I would have said you're crazy.
Yeah, it's a good thing after my teenage years, we ended up being best friends.
Right. I do remember talking to you guys back around Christmas time. You guys were really tight. When you were in college, you guys were talking constantly, right?
Oh, yeah.
You just have a really close relationship.
She would give me a cap. She'd be like, you've called 3 times today. That's it. Don't call again.
Yeah.
When she was in Austin, at one point, I actually thought about reinstilling the 3-call-a-day rule.
My goodness.
Is your arm falling off? I mean, what do you need?
Yeah. And then now she hears from me. More probably 10 times a day.
Right.
But you know what's bad about being local and having a local kid in college? When they try to go to the bars and pass it off as it's the convenience store.
You know, Uncle Woody's.
Oh, yeah.
I would tell her Woody's was a convenience store. And she was like, is it? Because it would be on my bank statement. Nice. I think you need to stop visiting there a little bit more often.
How much cereal are you buying?
Well, her out-of-town friends got away with it.
Yeah, they did.
That's right.
Not me.
Hilarious. Very true. Well, that's cool. So how's it been working together then?
Oh, easy.
It's been a real natural transition.
Yeah. And I think like, I mean, I joke because she's my boss, right? But she's been my boss since the day I was born. So, but with that though, like I have so much trust in her. So when I call her and I'm asking her for advice or asking her questions, I know I'm getting the best answer. Mm-hmm. Like I've never doubted that. Like even this morning I called her and, was asking some things and she was like, well, you should ask this, this, and this. And then I knew in the back of my mind when I called her back later, she'd be like, what did you say? And give me more tidbits of information to possibly do next time. So it's like I trust her to teach me how to do things better the next time as well. So it's just makes it easy when you know.
And she didn't even need me.
Right. Sometimes when you just think about it a little bit, you're like, I think I figured it out.
Yeah.
But still give me your advice.
Exactly.
You know, I kind of think of like sales in general, you learn more from no's than you do yeses, right? So 100%. When you haven't experienced something and then you can lean on somebody, I think that's why people get successful in real estate. Having a mentor in real estate is key these days because everybody wants to do it because the tip of the iceberg shows that it's so easy, but they don't see everything that's going on under the water, right? And then having somebody to be able to answer and lean on those questions is key, I think.
At this point.
I think for any business too. So
agreed.
Yeah. And that was a big piece of your role when you were managing the office, wasn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So my brokerage wasn't heavily focused on recruitment. It was really focused on being the best for the agents. And I mentored and coached, and I feel like they're completely different, just so we're clear. Mentoring and coaching are totally different things.
Sure.
Many agents, and it's hard for me to compliment myself, but if I have a knack, I feel like it's seeing the best in people that they may not see in themselves and their strong suits, right? So I would try to understand that person. Like we're sitting here having a conversation, understanding each other. Mm-hmm. Well, if somebody comes with me with a question, I try to really help them find the answer and not give them the answer. because how will they ever answer it again if it's right. in my words? So when I took on mentoring of agents at the brokerage, it was the same idea. Let's just sit down and talk about it. Let's have a conversation. And usually they found their path.
That's wonderful.
That's a great way to do it for sure.
Mm-hmm. So where do you see yourselves going? I mean, the train's rolling. The train's left the station. Where do you guys see yourselves going within the next 5 years? I know you said a little bit of growth. I mean, where do you guys want to, how high do you want to take this?
Well, I mean, even past 5 years, I think maybe we're maybe push out to 10 years, but we would like to be in different states. I mean, we'd like to be brokered in Texas even, because I have so many connections there in Florida. So that's the hope.
Yeah. And I think that it'd be so interesting to sit down again, do this a year from now and see where we're at, because we've got some definite goals. And just by our pipeline,
sure.
I feel like we're going to exceed that. And I feel like we need people in Kentucky now, now. And I think the path is easier to bring on somebody from Kentucky than just go get licensed ourselves. Sure, we could do that. Mm-hmm. But again, I want to see that growth. And I think it makes smart to have that hyper local person or persons.
Right.
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Well, he's kind of switching things up.
Yeah.
Well, anything else that you guys want to talk about before we switch to advice?
Okay. I don't know. Anything else? You want to tell the story of how I treated you different?
Sure. You probably can put this in somewhere.
They might be able to splice it in. I think it's a funny story.
Maybe, yeah. Let's but it is. I mean, so when I first got licensed, or I came home and I was working on getting licensed, mom was like, "You can go wherever you want. You don't have to go to my brokerage. You don't even have to go to my office, like wherever you want." And I was like, are you kidding? I'm coming to where you are. And so she made sure, since she was the vice president of that branch, to ask everybody in the office, "Are you okay with this? Like, my daughter's coming in. Is that okay? I'll make her go to Anderson office or wherever else." Right. And they were like, "No, it's fine." I had been in the office. They had known me. It was whatever. And then a few weeks after I had started, I was like one of those people that was in the office pretty much every day. And one of her other agents came into her office one morning and was like, "You know, you do treat Taylor a little differently." And she was like, "Oh my God, really? Like, okay, what am I doing? Like, what did I do?" And he was like, "Well, you've never looked at me and told me to shut the hell up."
So we're good then. That's awesome.
Of course, I am who I am.
Oh, that's great.
I love that. So funny.
Perfect mentor right there.
Yeah, best.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
That's perfect. So, all right. Well, we would love to ask you guys for some advice here for our listeners. But before we do that, I just want to give a quick shout out to Back to Back Ministries. They let us use this awesome podcast studio that they have. So actually, Back to Back Ministries is a global nonprofit orphan care organization with their sights set on providing care for today and hope for every tomorrow. From Cincinnati, Ohio to Hyderabad, India, staff teams around the world are stepping into hard stories and choosing to stay. To learn more about the work Back to Back does, how you can get involved, and why a global team won't stop until every child is known and loved, visit backtoback.org today. We're super grateful always to Back to Back for letting us use this space.
And great organization.
Yeah. Super nice microphones and everything.
Yeah, what a great organization.
Yeah, great space. So with that being said, though, we were curious if you have any advice for buyers and sellers in this crazy market that we're experiencing now.
Sure. So I think for buyers and sellers alike, using an expert in your area. And I know that's like so overused. I feel like you get on social media and any realtor you see is like, "Use an expert," right? But something that we really drive home is like hyper local market. Mm-hmm. So that's like specifically our tiny little neighbors. We have like 52, I think, in Cincinnati alone. So like Madisonville or Milford, somebody who like really knows all those hyper local markets. Mm-hmm. And we've talked a little bit about being from the east side. So we're really, really knowledgeable and prior ourselves in being knowledgeable in those hyperlocal markets, but that's really important.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more. Yeah,
that's great.
And then that buyer fatigue, you know, so we see so many buyers getting buyer fatigue. And I mean, her brother, my son, is currently looking for a house. And I know I see it every time we go through a day of showings. They are completely fatigued and they're ready to give up. And then the next day, another house comes on the market. And if you, I tell them, it took Rob and I 5 years to find the house that we're in.
Wow.
Now, we had specific things in mind. It wasn't this same market, but the same idea. It's going to come.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I feel like as agents, our job is to be a counselor almost to our clients, to listen and help them. I mean, you could walk away from PT with PTSD from the buying process right now, right? So how do we help them through that and allow them to take that break?
Right.
You know, allow them, if you need to say, I can't look at this for another week, 2 weeks, that's fine. We'll still be there partnering, looking for you. Yeah. Rest assured, if there's something that's crazy great that comes up, we'll let you know, but shut it off.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's so great. We get to front that stress a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's awesome. Well, cool. Well, what about for new agents or maybe somebody thinking about getting into real estate? What kind of advice would you offer for someone like that?
You know, in all my years of talking to new agents, getting into the business, everybody's first question is, what's your split? I actually think that's the worst question to ask. Money is definitely important. And anybody tells you who says, anybody who says, I don't do this for the money. I don't do real estate for the money, but the money definitely is a big piece of it. We have to live. So right. I get that question, but you have to find where you fit. If you don't feel like you connect with those people, and if it's only about the money, you are going to be broker hopping.
Yeah.
And clients don't like that. So I think if they focus less on, hey, what's the split? And then understand if they fit with that type of business and feel like they have a strong mentor to help them through or somebody that's actually going to be there, because it is a complex transaction.
Right.
I don't care if you were an attorney before, a teacher before, a tech salesperson before, you all have something special to bring to the table, but you don't have everything you need to know. So you need somebody that can be there for you.
I think with that too, is like the relationship building piece. I know you touched base on like clients know if you're being genuine or not. So like building relationships is this whole business, right? So like 80% of the business you do is your sphere. And from there, a lot of ours is referrals. So building relationships is so important. I mean, even my first transaction ever, I am best friends with them now. We sold them a house up in Lebanon, and they're an aunt and uncle to Palmer now. Like, oh, we so hang awesome. Out with them all the time, and it just shows like relationships are the best.
That's great. They're so essential in real estate.
I mean, they're essential in life, aren't they? Really? Yeah. I mean, and that's why I say, like, it is probably one of the most fulfilling jobs. Can I even call it a job that I've ever had? Is real estate.
That's awesome. It's fantastic. Well, this has been a really a treat. It's been a fun conversation. This is the first time, I don't know if you guys know this, that we've ever had two guests on. Obviously, also our first time having a mother and daughter on. So this has been really special.
Awesome. Yes.
Thank you.
What an honor.
So long to set up.
What an honor. We really appreciate your time. I mean, we were glad we were.
You guys are great.
We really appreciate your time.
We appreciate you guys continue to lead the way, and especially through the board and everything like that. I mean, staying active, not just in your business, shows that you care about people, you know? So. Thank you for all that you do as well outside of just your individual business.
Absolutely. So,
awesome. Yeah. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks for listening to the Cincinnati Real Producers Podcast powered by Nextdoor Photos. We do this every week, so be sure to subscribe so you can follow along. If you liked our conversation, leave us a review. We'd love to hear your thoughts.